Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, later on this month, and it is a new month, it's October as in from today, we're going to hear who's getting the Nobel Peace Prize. And President Trump has indicated, of course, that he wants it. He believes his efforts to help solve a number of conflicts around the world means that he should get it. But how is it decided? And what is the history of the award? Well, I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Graham Finlay from the UCD School of Politics and International Relations. Hello, Graham.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. So listen, it's established. Donald Trump wants it. So we're going to just assess here what he needs to do and how others have managed to get it. Where did it all start, the Nobel Peace Prize?
So Alfred Nobel was a Swedish chemist and inventor, and he invented dynamite famously and also lots of other military explosives. And there's this story that he was living in France, and there was this story that when his brother died, they mistakenly thought it was him and published an obituary that the merchant of death is dead. And this caused him to rethink his life and his legacy. It's not true. There was an obituary published when his brother died, which mistakenly thought that he had died, but it was very relatively mild. The reason he honored the people who he thought would promote peace through a peace prize and all the other medals for chemistry and medicine, economics, is because his secretary, Bertha von Suttner, went off and became a peace activist and wrote a very, very famous throw down your arms, a real manifesto slash novel calling for peace, and really promoted peace through these peace congresses. And she eventually invited Nobel to one of these peace congresses, and he became very, very enthusiastic. And just a year before his death, changed his will to create all these prizes for anybody who's helped human beings and helped human progress.
And did she, his secretary, become a peace activist because she was horrified at what she had witnessed him creating?
No, at no point does it seem to have been a concern about what he was creating. He actually wanted to create even more powerful weapons because he dreamed of a weapon so powerful that and so destructive that countries wouldn't use it, and this would lead to peace. And of course, we have something quite similar to that in the atomic bomb, except that it's being used. But he really was a passionate believer in peace, but he doesn't seem to have felt guilty whatsoever.
It's a huge contradiction, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So the prize then, the Peace Prize, who has previously won it? Who are the notable winners?
Well, many, many people have. And again, one of the first winners, Henri Dunant, the founder of the Red Cross. The Red Cross has won several times. Did write to Bertha von Suttner thanking her for getting Nobel to set up the prize. This is our evidence that she had this effect. But, it can be any person living or any organization who's contributing to the cause of peace. And it's quite an interesting set of people. They can nominate multiple people. So a lot of us know Malala Yousafzai, who won in 2014 for her commitment to girls' education. But we don't talk about her fellow awardee, Kailash Satyarthi, who's a campaigner against child labor in India and also for education. So several American presidents have, despite having quite bloodthirsty pasts, Teddy Roosevelt, Jimmy Carter, Woodrow Wilson, and Barack Obama, sort of controversially, mostly for not being George W. Bush. And all of these are kind of controversial, not least because American presidents often kill a lot of people in the course of their foreign policy, but also it does set up this expectation in American presidents that they might be in the frame.
Which
for
is
one.
Why Donald Trump wants one, because it has happened in the past, so it should be me.
Yeah, and even Obama thought it might be a little premature for him to get it 9 months into his presidency.
Uh-huh. But he did. Now, the people who aren't on the list as well, that's a notable, there are some contenders there who perhaps people might feel should have won the Peace Prize but didn't.
Yeah, the big one is Gandhi. He was nominated multiple times. One of the interesting things about the Nobel Prize is they will not reveal who is nominated until 50 years after the prize. And in fact, access even to the archives is quite hard to get. But we now know that Gandhi was nominated multiple times, including the year before his assassination. And so when they gave the prize to the Dalai Lama, it was in part sort of making up for not giving it to Gandhi. Eleanor Roosevelt is another obvious omission. A lot of American statespeople who have contributed to the cause of peace and human rights, like Eleanor Roosevelt, have been awarded over the years. recently it has become quite political, and it's either used, and it's been accused of being political, and it's been used to sort of highlight people we might not know about their struggles so much, like Rigoberta Menchú, but also, again, controversially, American presidents or figures who seem to be opposed to sort of American imperialism or the politics of Donald Trump.
Well, one of the most controversial was the North Vietnamese leader who won back in 1973.
Yeah, he won alongside, even more controversially, Henry Kissinger, who was the Secretary of State of the United States. And Lê Duc Thu was the only person ever to refuse the Nobel Prize because it was bourgeois. And he had been a member of the Vietnamese government over very, very violent, military events like the Tet Offensive, where thousands and thousands of civilians died. But the great Tom Lehrer, who, if you haven't checked him out, the satirist Tom Lehrer, who's recently passed away, absolutely hilarious, did say that political satire was impossible after Henry Kissinger won the Nobel Prize.
Because it's reality now.
Henry Kissinger, had, over his 8 years as Secretary of State, is alleged to be responsible for the deaths of 3 to 4 million people, and including, and this is before he was awarded the prize, in the secret bombings of Cambodia during the Vietnam War. So even Kissinger wasn't quite sure why he was getting the prize. He used Groucho Marx's line, or referred to it, not wanting to be a part of a club that would have him as a member. Mm-hmm. But unlike Lê Duc Thu, he accepted it. So
who decides then? Because it's a very subjective thing, isn't it? Who makes the call?
It's the Nobel. I really urge people to go on the Nobel Peace Prize site, because it's actually kind of great. They have all these frequently asked questions, like, can I apply for a Nobel Peace Prize? No, Mr. Trump, no, you can't. Right. But, or anybody else. And so almost not anybody can nominate people for the Nobel Prize. Any sort of sitting legislature or head of state can nominate someone, not I think themselves, academics of associate professor or higher, which leaves me out, can nominate people. And a lot of different international organizations can nominate people. And they get about, you'd think they'd get more, frankly, but they get around 300 to 400 nominations a year. All of them are secret. And then the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, which is made up largely of former Norwegian politicians, because it's awarded by the Norwegian Parliament. At the time when the prize was created, Norway and Sweden were in a sort of union. And so that's why some of the prizes are in Norway and some of them are in Sweden. But so the Norwegian Parliament, it's often ex-Norwegian politicians. People have criticized that maybe the prize shouldn't be determined by the views of ex-Norwegian politicians, because, Norway has a political culture. But they take advice from international experts. They do a lot of research. They look at the long list and then they exclude me. And they go on to do a lot of research and come up with a short list from which they choose. And the whole process is very, very secret.
Yeah, because you never get, so you're not going to get an explanation. So you're not going to get, even in 50 years' time, some logic around the Henry Kissinger decision. You don't get to see that ever, do you?
You don't ever get, they're very secretive. They're never going to explain why they gave it to Kissinger. Like, the minutes of the meetings are completely not going to appear. But just the list, only appears just about now for the Kissinger Award. There are archives, but they're quite hard to access. I found out you can even be, in fact, one of my friends is a research fellow at the visiting fellow at the Nobel Peace Prize Archives, which it has to be a good gig. So they take a lot of advice, but in the end, it comes down to them. In the past, we've had some members resign over various awards. One was Carl von Ossietzky, who was a German peace activist who warned Europe about German rearmament. And when he received the prize in 1936, was in a concentration camp and very, very ill with tuberculosis. And after that, Hitler refused to let anybody go and get any of the Nobel Prizes for the duration of mm-hmm. the time after that. And so quite a few of the awardees have been in prison when they received the prize.
It's still a very respected award, isn't it? Despite all of this, secretive nature, the subjective nature of it, the nomination process, it is still something that people hail as being, well, obviously Donald Trump thinks it's a great thing and he wants to get it.
Yeah, no, it's the most prestigious prize on earth. And it's really a testimony to the committee that despite all the controversies, it still has all this prestige. I mean, I know I felt honored in 2012 among everybody else in the European Union when the European Union got it. But no, I mean, we're all looking forward to hearing who it is. And again, either it'll be someone we think, oh yeah, they should really get it, or no, they shouldn't get it. Or somebody who we don't know about, and we really should. There's the alternative Nobel, which is the Right Livelihood Award, which also is given out to people. And maybe a bit churlishly, they award it the day before the awards for the Nobel Prize go out on December 10th. It's like Canada having our National Day 3 days before America. But that's a very interesting award, which goes to people who they think Nobel is not going to honor or will overlook. But there are some people who've won both. I was privileged to hear just recently at a graduation, Alexandra Matvijchuk, who with her Center for Civil Liberties, she's the leader of the Center for Civil Liberties in Ukraine, has won both a Right Livelihood and a Nobel Prize.
In the same year?
For highlighting human rights abuses in Ukraine
Public relations war.
And she was astonishing. Like, you really felt like you were in the presence of someone who deserves this kind of honor and whose work we should know about.
So Donald Trump then, when you were explaining how people are nominated, he's clearly been nominated this year. Like, let's take
Netanyahu
that as read, right?
He has, right. Mm-hmm. Netanyahu keeps saying that he's nominated Donald Trump, as is Netanyahu's right as a prime minister.
So what do we reckon his chances are?
Zero, I think is fair to say. While Donald Trump has shown his willingness to sort of bully whole countries, I just don't think the Norwegian Peace Prize Committee is easy to bully. And while Donald Trump has some claim to a peace record, all the wars he claims to have settled recently aren't wars. Whether they're settled is not clear. The Abraham Accords are somewhat problematic. While he has created some peace, and again, you can quibble with some of the details, I just don't think the dispositions of the committee, as far as we've seen them in the past few decades, are likely to be honoring him anytime soon.
He's very invested in this, though, because I'm sure you've noticed as well, over the last, say, 2 months, every chance he gets, every press conference he holds, every world leader he meets, he diverts the conversation around to the 6, sometimes 7 wars that he has ended, and then he goes through and lists them. It's what he wants to talk about. He wants it there front of mind. His eye is on the prize.
Yeah. I mean, Obama got one. He wants one. And I mean, it's not beyond us seeing Norway being hit with punitive tariffs so that they'll give him the Peace Prize, right? And now, again, the committee has been criticized for being too Norwegian, right, and too close to the Norwegian establishment. And whether, even punitive tariffs could cause the Norwegian government to put pressure on the committee, I think is very, very unlikely. Norway is fabulously wealthy through its oil wealth and yet taxes its citizens very, very highly, including on petrol, as a way of not spending all that money in one place. They're very resilient in terms of holding out to any kind of pressure.
All right, we wait and see. We'll find out soon enough. Graeme, thank you so much. That's fascinating. Graeme Finley there from the UCD School of Politics. Now, ingrown toenails and hammer toes and things like bunions. We're going to have expert advice on foot health. Still time to get your questions in. WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.